So when I was a senior in high school in South Burlington, Vermont, I decided I wanted to go to college at Fordham University in the Bronx, New York. After I decided to go away, but before I left, I met a girl, and we developed a relationship. And while it was nice while it lasted, and we tried to maintain the relationship long distance, it wasn't meant to be, and eventually we went our separate ways. So Fordham University, well, that's an unusual place for a Jewish kid to go. After all, Fordham University is a Catholic school run by Jesuit priests, and its enrollment is almost entirely Catholic. But there are some things about college life that just transcend religious and cultural differences. Good thing, too, because I met some of the best friends of my life there, friends that I still have today. And I discovered there's a lot of similarities between Judaism and Catholicism. Yes, there are a couple of important differences, but many similarities. For instance, years later, my friend's brother died, and I went to the funeral. I drove from Baltimore, Maryland, up to Philadelphia, and I arrived just 10 minutes late, and I had already missed the eulogy my brother gave for his friend. Catholic funerals start on time. Jewish funerals, not so much. Rabbi Franken, notwithstanding. The most punctual rabbi I have ever met. Anyway, my time at Fordham turned out to be brief. I was only there for a year. Shortly after I got there, my mother got a job at the University of Vermont, and I was able to go to the University of Vermont tuition-free. And the same thing happened. After I knew I was going to leave, but before I actually left, I met a lovely young lady, and we developed a relationship. This time, though, I decided I did not want to maintain the relationship long distance. So we had a good time together, but when the end of the school year came, we wished each other well, and we went our separate ways. 3 years later, I graduated from the University of Vermont. I did not know what I wanted to do, so I hung around for another year doing a variety of different jobs. One of the jobs was called supplemental instruction. This was teaching economics and extra help economics, extra classes in economics, to any of the students who wanted to come. My classes were generally in the evening, and I only had a few students show up. The two students who did show up were freshmen. And then after a couple of weeks, a few more students came, and they were also freshmen. And then one night, there was a new student. She had dark hair, olive skin, pretty eyes, and her name was Chris. And she was a senior, the only senior in my class. A few days later, in the regular class, where I was taking notes for a girl who was deaf, I got up to leave, and I noticed that Chris was sitting right behind me. Well, that captured my attention. And then a few nights later, she was there in my class again. When it came time to leave, I noticed she was going in the same direction as me. So I ran up to catch her so we could talk. It was winter in Burlington, Vermont, and there was still snow and ice on the ground. So I asked her if she wanted to take my arm. And she did. So we walked down College Street, down the hill in Burlington, Vermont, and we had our first conversation walking arm in arm. A few weeks after that, we had our first date. And a few weeks after that, we had more dates. And then it was springtime. And again, it was time for me to make a big decision. This time, I would be going away to Minneapolis, Minnesota to graduate school. She told me that she wouldn't move away with me. And I did not want to say goodbye to her. And I certainly didn't want to try another long-distance relationship. So I spent some time thinking about it, and I worked up my courage, and I decided I would ask her to marry me. She said yes. So 10 weeks after our first date, we were engaged to be married. And when we went back to her roommate's apartment, and we said we just got engaged, and we said the word engaged, we looked at each other with terror in our eyes. We realized what we had just done. Conversation was a little awkward over the weekend, but as time went by, things got more easygoing. At one point, Chris said, "I'm glad we have a whole summer together because we really need to get to know each other. After all, we are going to be married." So 6 months after our first date, we were living in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in an unfurnished apartment. She was looking for work, I was in graduate school, and we had very little money, and we were trying to make it work. And we did. The following summer, it was time for the wedding, and my Fordham friends came back into the picture. Never at a loss for an excuse to have a party, they were very excited to have a bachelor's party for the first among us to get married. So the party would be at the Gramercy Park Hotel in New York City. I traveled down from Vermont, and it was your typical bachelor's party, and I'm going to spare you the details. Until late at night, when we decided we wanted to go out to a club in the neighborhood. It was called the Cat Club, and it was a punk rock club with very loud music. I was tired, and the music was not really my style, so I went back to the hotel, where I fell asleep for about an hour. When it was sunrise, near sunrise, I woke up, and the rest of the guys had come back from the club, and they had brought a visitor. I went into the living room suite to see who was there, and there was a tall, thin man with long hair, dressed all in black leather. With him was a woman, bleach blonde hair, leather top, leather skirt, fishnet stockings, spiked heels. Who was this unusual couple? Well, it turned out the man was Jeffrey Ross Hyman. Now, I'm sure you're all asking yourself, who is Jeffrey Ross Hyman? Well, Jeffrey Ross Hyman was a kid from Queens who founded a rock band. He changed his name to Joey, and the rock band that he founded went on to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The person who was at my bachelor's party was Joey Ramone of the Ramones. I was not really a huge fan of punk rock, and the Ramones were kind of past their prime. But seriously, there was a rock star at my bachelor's party. And what do I remember about Joey Ramone? I can remember two things. I remember he talked a lot about glory past and hanging out with the Who. And the second thing I remember was he gave me his blessing on my upcoming nuptials. And here is what Joey said. He said, "Mark, getting married, that's a great thing you're doing." Well, 27 and a half years later, three children, more cats than I can count, and a dog, Chris and I are still going strong. And what happened to Joey? Sadly, in 2001, Joey died of cancer. But his immortal words remain with me to this day on a daily basis as I live my life. Getting married, that's a great thing you're doing.